The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 32, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatkikari, recorded on October 10th, 2010, in Vrindavan, India.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter Number 9, Text Number 32. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Matir vidushita devai patadbir rasahishnubi yo narada vachastatyam nagrahi shamasattamah matir vidushita devai Patadvir rasahishnubi yo narada vajastatyam nagrahi shamasattamah. Translation and purport by the divine grace. Since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of sage Narada. Purport. As shown by many instances in the Vedic literature, when a person undergoes severe austerities, the demigods become very much perturbed because they are always afraid of losing their posts as the predominating deities of the heavenly planets. It is known to them that their position in the higher planetary system is impermanent, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, Chine Punye Martyalokam Vishanti. It is said in the Gita that after exhausting the results of their pious activities, all the demigods who are inhabitants of the higher planetary system have to come back again to this earth. It is a fact that the demigods control the different activities of the limbs of our bodies. Factually, we are not free even in the moving of our eyelids. Everything is controlled by them. Dhruva Maharaja's conclusion is that these demigods, being envious of his superior position in devotional service, conspired against him to pollute his intelligence. And thus, although he was the disciple of a great Vaishnava, Narad Muni, he could not accept Narada's valid instructions. Now Dhruva Maharaja regretted very much that he had neglected these instructions. Narada Muni had asked him, "Why you should bother about insult or adoration from your stepmother?" He, of course, said to Dhruva Maharaj that, since Dhruva was only a child, what did he have to do with such insult or adoration? But Dhruva Maharaj was determined to achieve the benediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Narada advised him to go back home for the time being, and in mature time he would try to practice. He could try to practice devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj regretted that he had rejected the advice of Narada Muni and was adamant in asking him for something perishable, namely revenge against his stepmother for her insult and possession of the kingdom of his father. Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he could not take seriously the instruction of his spiritual master, and that his consciousness was therefore contaminated. Still, The Lord is so merciful that due to Dhruva's execution of devotional service, he offered Dhruva the ultimate Vaishnava goal. Shri Guru Shri Jata Pada Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvita Sadvaitam Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha So, we should learn lesson from Dhruva Maharaj. We do not want to find ourselves in that position. Shri Shri Gonitai, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. We do not want to find ourselves in that position, regretting that my spiritual master instructed me in a certain way and I thought I knew better. Even though he got that desire fulfilled, he's thinking, what an idiot, what a complete idiot I was. Actually, he could have gone back to Godhead immediately, but now he has to stay in this material world for 36,000 years. So, intelligent person. He thinks, whatever my spiritual master has ordered me, let me take that as my life and soul. That's it. Not that I have to mix Guru Maharaj's orders with my material desires. If I'm wanting to mix my spiritual master's order with material desires, what does that mean? That means I don't have complete faith in my spiritual master. I don't have complete faith in the words of Krishna. I'm thinking, I know something better. With my tiny Dr. Frog brain, what can I know? Thinking that my well is the biggest body of water in the whole world. Ribbit. What is the use of this Dr. Frog brain that we're infected with, you see? What is the use? Better to become humble servant of my spiritual master. That's it. Srila Prabhupada very wonderfully explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that whatever order one receives from one spiritual master, one should accept that order his very life and soul. He should meditate on that order. And then Prabhupada carries it a step further. He says he should worship that order. I have some vision of, you know, taking a letter that I got from Prabhupada and offering an arti to the letter. He says, worship that order, you see. Not that we physically do that. You take the order and offer an art. You could actually. It's completely worshipable. But the point is, you take it within your heart. Just like Prabhupada one time gave me order, he said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Well, what hope I have of doing that on my own? I mean, I'm a complete rascal. Lusty, angry, greedy, envious, illusion, madman, you know. All I can see is sense gratification. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. So-called enjoyment. That poison, you see, of material existence. But Prabhupada's order is there. He ordered me. So what can I do? I think, well, Prabhupada, as we oftentimes hear it said, with the order of the spiritual master, or within the order of the spiritual master, comes the power to execute that order. You see, on my own, I have no power. I have no power. But the order of Srila Prabhupada is fully present in that order. Not only is Srila Prabhupada present, but all the previous acharyas, Mahajano, Yena, Gutasapanta. So by their blessings, by their grace, you see, even the impossible order that Prabhupada gave me, I have to qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. That impossible order, you see, becomes possible. But there's one catch. I have to surrender. I have to give up this idea of independent enjoyment, you see. That I want this, I want that. You see. I have to simply think, what does Prabhupada want? If there's a thought going through my brain, I have to think, well, would Prabhupada like me to be thinking like this at this minute? Does Prabhupada want me to think this thought, or he doesn't approve this thought? You see? Are these words coming out of my mouth right now, are these words pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, or are they displeasing to Srila Prabhupada? You see? And the actions I'm performing with my body, are they pleasing to Srila Prabhupada, or are they displeasing to Srila Prabhupada? In this way, the disciple has to mold himself to be absolutely, completely, 100% in all times, places, and circumstances, completely pleasing and enlivening to his spiritual master. You see? And then when we actually achieve that position, then Krishna becomes our property. You see? Krishna becomes the property of that devotee who's completely sold out to his spiritual master. It becomes the personal property. We're thinking, well, I need this, I need that for my service, or I need this, I need that for my sense gratification. But you know, all we really need is Krishna. Because if you have Krishna, you've got everything. Is Krishna lacking in anything? Is he short of money? Is he short of power? Is he short of wisdom? Is he short of fame? Is Krishna lacking in anything? No. He has unlimited power, beauty, renunciation, knowledge, wealth, and fame. So if that person, you see, who has that unlimited power, unlimited beauty, unlimited renunciation, unlimited knowledge, unlimited wealth, unlimited fame, becomes my personal property, how I can lack in anything? Prabhupada had practically no money. He wanted that Fisher mansion, immediately the money came. You see? Because he sold out to Krishna. He sold out to his spiritual master. Krishna confirms this. In Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text number 22. Ananya chintayanto mam yejana paryapasate tesham nichabhiyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. For those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, I preserve what they have and I carry what they lack. Prabhupada elaborated on that in one lecture. He said, Krishna delivers to your door whatever you're lacking, personally delivers to you. You may say, but Sankarshan Prabhu, I mean, I'm a devotee, but I'm so many things I'm not getting. Why am I not getting them? I need this, I need that, I need plane fare to get to the Holy Dham. So many things I need to get back home to the Western world or whatever it may be. Why am I lacking? Well, note the condition given at the beginning of the verse, for those who worship me with exclusive devotion. What does exclusive devotion mean? To the exclusion of any devotion to anything else. No devotion to the tongue, no devotion to the genitals, no devotion to the false ego, no devotion, not even the slightest tinge of devotion to anything else, you see. Exclusive devotion. Well, Krishna reciprocates with us, ye yata mang prapadyante tang tataiva bhujamyaham. Insofar as we surrender ourselves to him, to that extent he reciprocates. So, how much reciprocation do you want? You want 1%? 2%? You see. If we would like to get 100% reciprocation from Krishna in all times, all places, and circumstances, we have to do our part of the deal. You see? If you want a ticket to such and such destination, you've got to pay the plane fare. If I'm going to fly to New York, I can't pay for a plane fare to London. I've got to pay for a plane fare to New York. I'm going to get a ticket all the way to New York. So if you want exclusive, if you want Krishna completely, then you have to give yourself to Krishna completely. So with our intelligence we can understand, yes, there's nothing else to do, therefore we have joined this Krishna consciousness movement. But yet we are holding back in so many ways. We're holding back. Why? Well, we're addicted. For so many lifetimes we're addicted. For millions and billions of lifetimes. We've been through those 8,400,000 species trying to enjoy in 8,400,000 different types of ways, again, and not just once through the cycle, but millions and billions of times we've been through the 8,400,000 species. Jalajana Valakshani, Stavara Lakshabhingshuti. And here we go, looping the loop again and again and again. Now we have the chance, you see. Now we have the big chance to get out. We've gotten the mercy of Prabhupada, we've gotten the mercy of Prabhupada's followers, we've gotten the mercy of the predecessor acharyas. We've got the mercy of the Holy Dham. We've got everything going for us now. You see. Wouldn't it be a shame if we didn't make it in this lifetime? With everything, all facility, and we didn't quite make it because, I had a few more deteriorate desires. I had to come back again to fulfill them. We were at Kamyavan yesterday, at that Bhojan Thali place. And I was explaining to my disciples that now we're here in Kamyavan. They say that in Kamyavan, whatever you desire, Krishna fulfilled that desire. So be careful what you desire. You're now in Kamyavan, you must be very careful. The only desire, pure bhakti. So we shouldn't think, well, for my bhakti, I need this facility, that facility. I got my list, 108 items. I need it in order to do... No, you don't need anything except pure bhakti. You see? Because when pure bhakti is there, then everything is there. Everything is there automatically. So we should learn from Dhruva that, you know, being a mixed devotee is regrettable. Even if we get it, we have to stay around in this material world longer than we wanted to. You see? That's the lesson that we can learn from our spiritual master, Dhruva Maharaj. He's teaching us, you see. He is also our spiritual master. He's teaching us. Don't have even the slightest tinge, you see. If somebody insults me, if I want to get even with them, teach them a lesson for insulting me, you see. I'm going to get back at them. No. If you're insulting me, Prabhu, then that means I insulted you in a previous lifetime, and now I'm getting my reaction. That's all. You see. So why should I, if you insult me, why should I insult you? You see, there's no reason. It just creeps the insult chakra spinning. So let's bring that insult chakra to a stop. You see. Even if you insult me, that's all right. I deserved it. All right, but I will not insult you. You see. In this way, you see. The devotee, he is equipoised in honor and dishonor. He doesn't become all elated. Oh, just see, they've honored me. They've given me so many flower garlands. I must be great. No, he doesn't think. He thinks, I'm simply nonsense, rascal, but on behalf of my spiritual master, I'm accepting this. You see. That's all. He doesn't think, I'm totally undeserving. Prabhupada showed us by this example in Los Angeles. That time when they had some small asan for Prabhupada. But now in Los Angeles, world headquarters, first established world headquarters, our godbrother, Narayan Prabhu, Prabhupada called him Vishvakarma. He made a huge throne for Prabhupada, regal vyasasan, proper vyasasan. And when Prabhupada came, they offered Prabhupada the seat. Prabhupada started crying. He said, I'm not worthy to sit in this seat. I'm not worthy. But I'm doing so on behalf of my spiritual master. So devotee never thinks he has any qualification, you see. If I think I have any qualification, that is my disqualification. Srila Rupa Goswami very nicely explains, as Prabhupada quotes in the Nectar Devotion, that I am simply trying to spread this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, although I am completely, totally unfit to do so. And then Prabhupada says, this should be the attitude of all the members of the Krishna consciousness movement. So every one of us should be thinking, I want to make the world Krishna conscious. Yes. But I'm totally unfit to do so. So how does it work then? If I'm unfit, then I want to make the world Krishna conscious because Prabhupada said that should be my attitude. That means I have to be an instrument, that's all. Krishna, use me as your instrument to make this planet Krishna conscious. You see, that's the proper attitude. Please free me from my lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, and envy so that I can be a worthy instrument. Krishna explains to Arjuna, actually they're already killed. But now you fight this battle, you be an instrument in my hands, Arjuna. So actually the whole world is already Krishna conscious, as confirmed by Krishna Das Kaviraj. The whole world will be inundated. See. Sajjana Durjana Pangu Jada Anagana Prema Vanyaya Bhruvaila Jagatira Jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is Prema Tsunami. It'll sweep the whole world, inundating everybody. Somebody sent me a copy of a photograph of that big tsunami from a few years ago. It was amazing. There's a hotel about 5 stories, maybe 8 stories tall. There's a huge wave as high as the hotel coming in off the ocean. And it shows all these cars driving them down the street. I mean, they're finished. It's just a matter of minutes. It's a huge wave, you see. So you think that tsunami was huge. This is the real tsunami. This Krishna consciousness movement. This is the ultimate tsunami in the history. You see. Not only this planet, it's so big tsunami, it will not only inundate this planet, but the whole universe, Jagatera Jana. Krishna Das Kaviraj. One of my sannyasi god brothers, he said, the Sankarshan Prabhu, it's not possible the whole world could become Krishna conscious. Well, even if possible and impossible, that's up to Krishna. It's not up to us. That's a thing. But it's predicted by Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami. Is he a mental speculator? He's one of the gopis, the eternal associates of the Lord, who's come down to assist Lord Chaitanya in his pastimes. He has perfect knowledge of past, present, and future. And he says it's going to happen. The whole world, the Sajjana, the pious men, Durjana, those rogues and rascals like you and me. At least I think you are all saints, but I think I'm arose. I feel myself again. The Sajjana, Durjana, Pangu, the lame, the invalid, the blind, everyone, absolutely everybody is going to be inundated by this prema tsunami. So, what can I do, you see? If I was a Hanuman, then I could do something big, big to push forward this movement. I see so many God brothers, they have huge, huge results from their preaching, and I'm just a little tiny, I feel like a little spider, that's it. But at least let me put a few particles of dust to help this movement go forward, you see. I may not be a Hanuman or this or that. Let me just be that little, at least that little spider. I can take my little spider leg and put a little dust in the ocean for Ram, for Krishna, you see. So in this way, if we try our level best, each and every one of us, to do whatever I can to push forward this movement, then my life will be blissful, you see. As long as I'm thinking only about my own happiness, is it possible I can be happy? What do you think? If I'm only thinking of my own happiness, is it possible I can be happy? No, it's not. Why? Because I'm selfish. If I want real happiness, I have to think, how can I make others happy? You see. That is Vaishnava. Para dukkha dukkhi. He's miserable to see the other people are unhappy. I was some years ago, I was flying out from Delhi on the way to Hong Kong. And of course, India is so wonderful because there's so much Krishna consciousness here. Even though Kali has made so much progress in this country, there's still Krishna consciousness here out there in the society. It's so sweet. So this guard, I forget his name, but you know, they frisk you at the airport. And he was so happy he saw me with my tilak, my dhoti, you know, the whole Hare Krishna attire, you know. He was so happy to see how I had taken to his culture, Krishna culture. And he said, "How do you feel?" He was expecting me to hear, "I'm really feeling happy." He was going to have a big smile on his face. I just could see he wanted me to hear, that. Then I told him this. I said, "I'm really miserable to see the whole world around me where people are not Krishna conscious." And then he got a huge smile. Because actually, the more we can feel bad about the suffering of the people, the more we become blissful. The more we can feel compassion for the suffering people of this age, the more we become happy. How is that possible? It seems contradictory. The more you become depressed about the suffering souls, the more you become ecstatic. I mean, these are contradictory emotions. How is it possible to feel miserable and blissful at the same time? I'll explain how. Lord Chaitanya is in a state of great anxiety to see the suffering souls of this age rotting in birth and death. Prabhupada explains this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. If one devotee of the Lord, or any, if somebody takes up this program that I want to spread this Krishna consciousness movement, I can't stand to see people unhappy, I want to preach, I want to distribute books, I want to make devotees, I want to do kirtan, I want to do something to help people become more happy because I can't stand to see their misery, you see. Then Prabhupada explains that devotee, you see, he is sharing the anxiety of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is carrying a big burden. Now you're helping him to carry that burden. Now do you think he will bless you if you do that? You think you might get some special mercy from Lord Chaitanya if you shoulder his burden of transcendental anxiety? You better believe it. You're going to get tons of mercy from Lord Chaitanya. So do you think if you're getting tons of mercy from Lord Chaitanya, you're going to be an unhappy fellow? You're going to become so blissful. You're just going to be overflowing of bliss, like a Hare Krishna volcano spewing lava wherever you bhakti lava wherever you go. See, I know Prabhupada is very pleased when we take this anxiety about others' suffering. In my own experience with Srila Prabhupada. This was back, way back in 1971 in Austin. We had a little preaching center there. Did Vishnujana Swami, oh yes, you were there. You came and I gave the interview. That's for your book. So, that little center there in Austin meant a lot to me. And then Prabhupada told me in a letter, he said, now make our Austin center a grand success. And it really cemented it. Well, Prabhupada told me to preach here in Austin, you see. And then our Vishnujana Maharaj had gone on down to San Antonio at that time. Yeah. No, he'd actually gone to join the roadshow by that time. I forget, somewhere around there. But anyway, the temple president said, okay, we're going to close the temple now and just do traveling and preaching. I was thinking, what? Prabhupada told me to make the Austin Center a grand success. That's my connection with Prabhupada to serve the order, and they're going to close the temple? No way. We can't do this. But who was I? I couldn't say anything. Just some rank and file brahmachari, you know, what can I say? But I wrote Prabhupada. Prabhupada, they want to close this center. I don't think we should, Prabhupada. And I said, because the people here are suffering because they lack Krishna consciousness. I think we should stay here. And if they want to leave, I'm willing to stay, Prabhupada, and take charge here. Prabhupada wrote me back the most wonderful letter. He was so happy. I'd never seen Prabhupada, by anything I ever did or say, be so pleased as he was that day. The heavy thing was it was in one of those areograms, you know, it was a letter in the front and the back. The letter of the front was to me, and the letter of the back was to the temple president. He got in trouble. You think the temple president was pleased with me? He got the sauce from Prabhupada, and I got glorified by Prabhupada. And he's the in-charge person, right? But he was very merciful. He let me have the original letter. I have that letter still. But I didn't mind that the temple president was angry at me because I had pleased my spiritual masters. Because I couldn't stand the idea of leaving. I saw that so many people needed Krishna consciousness in Austin. And I felt we have to stay here. And Prabhupada very much approved and very much was pleased with this. And very, very pleased. So from this I learned, if this can always be our mood, that we want to do whatever is necessary to relieve the people of their suffering condition. If we have this mood, then Prabhupada will be so pleased. He'll be just beaming, a huge smile, just showering us with his mercy, you see. So never give up this preaching mood, you see. This is the lesson. Never give up the preaching mood. Now my preaching is finished. I will just go to Vrindavan. And I will just become Bhajanandi. I will just merge into Braj Ras. Forget about the fallen souls. Now I will just merge into Braj Ras. Was that Prabhupada's move? No way. He relished Vrindavan. But even you listen to the lectures he gave in Vrindavan, how much he gave, you know, Katha, Leelas, all this stuff when he was here in Vrindavan. Mostly just straight philosophy, a little bit. Here, a little there, but just the same old heavy philosophy pushing forward this movement to save the conditioned souls. Wherever he went, doesn't matter, New York, London, or Vrindavan, the same thing, the same push from Srila Prabhupada to save the fallen conditioned souls. You see. And even when in the final days you would think, well, Prabhupada now can just merge into Braj Ras. He's here in Vrindavan getting ready to leave his body. But what did he say? He said, and they say that the old man is dying at Vrindavan. But I am beating on my mridanga, and it can be heard all over the world. Prabhupada never stopped beating on that mridanga to push forward this movement, you see. So, we are known as Prabhupada Nugas. What does that mean? Followers in the footsteps of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. This means we must keep that mood of Srila Prabhupada to push forward this movement, to save the fallen souls. And to whatever extent we can absorb ourselves in doing that, we will become ecstatic. And if we completely absorb ourselves in doing that, we are guaranteed to go back to Godhead upon leaving this body. Indeed, we are already back to Godhead. If we're in that mood, we're already back to Godhead. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya says, Nadanam najanam nasundarim kavitam vajagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmarishvare bhavatad vyaktir haitakitva. I all I need is devotional service. I don't need wealth, women, followers, liberation from the cycle of birth and death. All I need is bhakti, you see. So if we take this mood of pure bhakti, we're already back to Godhead. You don't have to wait to go back to Godhead. You can go back to Godhead right now. Just by taking that mood of pure bhakti, you're already back to Godhead. So we saw that in Srila Prabhupada. He was back to Godhead at every minute. Wherever he went, wherever his lotus feet touched down, that place immediately became Vrindavan. He didn't have to come to Vrindavan. His coming to Vrindavan is a purified Vrindavan. From the sins of all the pilgrims who come here wanting this and that, this and that, this and that. So, in this way, we can learn a very good lesson from Dhruva Maharaj. Not waste our time mixing Krishna consciousness with material desires. Don't waste time shrama evi kevalam. Just beg Krishna for pure bhakti. We've been given a perfect prayer to beg for pure bhakti. We have to pray it, not mechanically, like Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, when I get these rounds done. No. We have to pray from the heart. We have to chant from the heart, pleading, begging Krishna, please give me pure devotional service. Please save me from my wretched demoniac mentality. Krishna, save me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, our lives will become 100% successful. Guaranteed. Or you're double your money there. Actually, we have a guarantee that if you will take up this process with full seriousness for 6 months, completely dedicated to this process, if you don't feel completely blissed out after 6 months, we'll give you 10,000 rupees. Well, all right, 100,000 rupees. Rupee isn't worth much, that's right. I was thinking dollars is... We'll give you 100,000 rupees, one lakh of rupees we will give you. If you follow this process strictly for 6 months, following every instruction of Srila Prabhupada, fully dedicating your heart and soul to this process, if you're not completely blissed out from the moment you get up in the morning until the moment you take rest at night, then you're going to be blissed out with 1 lakh of rupees. I've been offering the money for years, but not one person has ever come forward to be able to claim the money. Because anybody who follows this process, they will become ecstatic, and in due course, as Prabhupada indicated to me, they will personally see Krishna face to face. Personally see Krishna. Guaranteed. This process works if you do what? If you work the process. If you don't work the process won't work. But if you work the process will work. So, now I can ask if there's some question, as soon as the bell stops ringing. Little ear disease I have. Okay, I'll need a human hearing aid. Somebody can hear the question and tell me in my ear. Maybe I can hear if you're sitting close. What is the question? Can you tell me what it is?
How do we distinguish if we are getting puffed up or if we are getting enthusiastic?
Oh, how do we distinguish between am I being transcendentally enthused or am I going along on a false ego high? Well, an easy way to tell the difference is, does it fizzle out or does it keep going? You see? Because a false ego high is happiness in the mode of passion. It'll be really ecstatic in the beginning. But, oh wow, now I got this big position in ISKCON. People think I'm great. They worship me. They adore me, you see. But 10 years later, where are you? Some of our gurus, GBCs, sannyasis, now they don't even chant Hare Krishna. You see? They had a big, huge position. That means they didn't get beyond the modes of nature in that service, you see. So I may be very enlivened, very happy in the mode of passion. So the real test is, does it fizzle out or does it keep going? Because happiness in the mode of goodness, yaptadagre vishamme va parename mritopamam tat sukham satikam proktam atmabuddhi prasada jam. You see, that which in the beginning may dish like poison, but in the end becomes sweeter than the sweetest honey, which awakens one to self-realization, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. So this Krishna consciousness is happiness in the mode of goodness, which gradually morphs into Shuddha Sattva happiness, which is nectar in the beginning and nectar in the end. So the real test is, can you maintain that? Does that happiness continue or does it gradually fade away? You see? If it can be maintained, then you know that you've actually found, at least you're in the mode of goodness, which is real close to the transcendental platform. At least you've gotten subtly situated in Sattva Guna, which means you're getting closer and closer to the transcendental platform. Okay? Yeah. Any other questions? Any other questions? All right. Oh, there's one. Okay. Hear carefully what he said.
Hare Krishna. Feeling comes that if Dhruva Maharaj would have followed the instruction of Narad Muni, then he would have gone back home. Then he would have performed devotional services of intensity, which eventually led him to see Krishna.
Okay.
So, if Dhruva Maharaj had followed Narad Muni's instructions, then he would have gone back home to Godhead. And why did he have to perform the austerities?
If Narada Muni had actually, if Dhruva had followed Narada, he would have given up, gone back to the home and given up the process. This is not the point. Dhruva, Narada Muni actually was directed by Krishna to go there to the forest and initiate Dhruva Maharaj. The instruction that Narada Muni gave him to go home was actually a test. Prabhupada very wonderfully described that pastime on one lecture. He said that Narada Muni says, little boy, you should go home. And the forest is not fit for you, you go home. And then Dhruva Prabhupada said, replied in this way, if you are telling me to go home, then I say you go home. So in this way, actually, Narada Muni was testing him. So the whole point was not that he should have gone home and given up the process. The point is he should not have taken this for the purpose of getting even with his stepmother. That's the point. He shouldn't have sought a material position. That's the point. Not that it was wrong for him to take up devotional service. It was wrong for him to do so, to take up this transcendental realization process for the purpose of fulfilling material desire. That was the point. Actually, he was meant to take up devotional service. That's why Krishna sent Narada Muni there to initiate him. But the trouble was, he took the process of transcendental realization based on the Vishnu mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. He took it as a process of fulfilling his material desire. That was his mistake. It wasn't wrong for him to stay in the forest, actually. But it was wrong for him to chant that Vishnu mantra for filling material desire. That was the defect. Is that clear now? Okay. All right then. So we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna consciousness movement. Srila Prabhupada is very pleased with our attempts to serve his mission. So let us become ever more dedicated and absorbed in doing that. And if we keep that mood, when we go to sleep at the end of life, death will mean we'll go to sleep and wake up with Krishna, and Srila Prabhupada will be right there to greet us, to Goloka. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srantarad Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Thank you very much.